at the Mazamayos and in their household, and it was great for me. I think it was great for them, and I am so grateful for that experience. I was a full-time student at Aya for at least a year, maybe two. And so I took, you know, all my classes online and all that kind of stuff, and it was great for me. And during that time, Ife and I, I'm not exactly sure how we ended up, but we learned about AXO, I think through my stepmother, who also did it when she was in high school. And we decided to begin competing. So Ife is a photographer. I'm sure you all are familiar. And I'm a writer. I always have been. I competed in the original essay competition 3 years in a row, my sophomore year, my junior year, and my senior year. I won the local competition my junior year and senior year and went to the national competition in Detroit and Orlando, respectively. So it was a really, really great experience for me. I really, really enjoyed it. Got the opportunity to be exposed to many different kinds of people from many different places. Got to travel and things like that. And so it was really enriching for me. It was a little time consuming. It's a little tedious to get things notarized and that kind of stuff. But that's just a very small portion of the situation. So I think, I'm not sure if they've changed, but when I was there, the local competition was at Tri-Cities in East Point. And so, yes, the notarization is quite the doozy. The local competition was at Tri-Cities, usually toward the end of February, beginning of March, something like that. And we would complete our projects, essays for me always, photography for Ife always. We would have them reviewed by our respective parents, you know, lots of edits, lots of, is this okay, is this not okay, should I change this, back and forth. Once that was done, we had to then do the mass scramble to find a notary who could notarize our work. And we learned through this process that generally, I think tax offices almost always have a notary. Libraries usually have one if you're looking for. And I think AXO requires that all original works be notarized. So if you're competing in any area that requires you to create an original piece, or if you are performing an original piece, that piece must be notarized, and you must bring that notarized copy to competition with you. Because this is something I've learned the hard way, you have to have the one thing notarized, and then if you copy it, you must copy the same copy that was notarized, so that stamp is on everything that you turn in to AXO or that the judges are going to look at or anything like that. So, the local competition is not really that steep. The Atlanta branch is really small, or at least it was then. This was, at least 5-6 years ago now. So depending on the categories, the arts categories are larger. The performance categories are larger. But the science and humanities categories are relatively small. So the competition there is not as broad. But once you get to the national scale, of course, everything gets much, much larger. And I never won at the national scale, but Ife did. So I'm sure she could tell you about that. And so did Rashina, another young woman that we worked with while we were participating at AXO. The competition itself is a little grueling. It's all day, and if you're going to be in a arts category like photography or painting or sculpture or anything, you have to stand next to your sculpture all day because you never know when the judges are coming. And so that's a little grueling. I think the one thing you have to figure out ahead of time is how well you're going to deal with feedback, because people are sensitive about their art, right? No matter what you create, or even if you perform it, people are sensitive about that. So, you have to be prepared to receive some pretty harsh criticism sometimes from the judges, and also from the mentors from your local branch of the NAACP. And that doesn't come until after you win the local competition, but it still may come, and it is not always super duper pleasant. So you have to be prepared to deal with people saying that things aren't right, or that just because something was good enough at the local level doesn't mean it's going to be good enough at the national level. So that's something you have to deal with. The judges themselves are usually really polite, but they are very kind of, for lack of a better term, intrusive. They're going to ask you a lot of questions about your motivation, where, if you created an original piece, where it came from. If you didn't, if you are like singing a song or playing a song that was written by someone else, they're going to ask you about why you chose that piece. There are going to be a lot of details about a lot of small things. So keep that in mind as you're creating or as you're selecting. Be sure that you can articulate your choices. You can relay that logic to someone else, because they are going to want to know where that came from. I think once you've gotten over the like, I've done my part of competition, the most critical thing you can do is support those others around you. I don't know if any of you know Issei, but she's just a little bit high strung, just a tad. And so my categories were always very kind of, there weren't a lot of people, and I would kind of just come and go, and I would do my piece and I would walk away. But she had to stand there all day, and it was hard on her. And so it was really important for me to kind of be there for her and stand there with her. And I would like have to go get her stuff and bring it, because she couldn't move. She would have to stand there for like 6 or 7 hours. It was a long time. So it's a little grueling. So always kind of be aware of the needs of those people who are competing with you, and kind of be supportive and helpful in any way you can. And that also goes for before, like leading up. Don't just be wrapped up in your own project, but also see what other people are doing and be supportive and give feedback and try and help them get to the next level so that everybody is as prepared as possible. Somebody have a question?
All right, folks, she's asking for if you have a question. If you want to, when you're asking your question, if you want to be seen, for her to see you, then you can click on the webcam and she will see you. That way, it'll still reduce the bandwidth. You're not trying to have everybody seen at the same time. Thank you, DeLaine, and I think it's a good time for some questions. What you have given is so valuable. Okay, some of those things I just completely forgot. So those are the details I just really love. Like, I had forgotten about the notification. I hadn't gotten there yet.
Yeah, the notice, the note, yeah, getting things
And
on
that whole
time.
notion of copying and which ones you copy. And I clearly, the standing and waiting for the judges and all that stuff like that is just really what you shared is priceless. Okay, students, you have a number of categories of questions. Delineate that before you, as you can tell, very having won at local, having competed at the national, having been a part of a winning team at the national, and also a college graduate. Also, she's been in your shoes where you are now, and she's in graduate school. So Any questions you have for her in any of those areas, she's here for you. And if you anything that you heard that you appreciate, then you always, of course, know that you start with anything that you appreciate.
Okay, I wanted to go. My name is Eshibola. You might see my name coming up as my dear, but that's just.
Open your webcam, Eshibola. I said, why don't you click on your webcam?
Oh, okay.
And click on allow. There's a little box that will come up that says allow. There we go.
All right. Hey. Yes,
hello.
My name is. Huh?
I was just saying hi.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so my name is Eshibola, and one of my questions I had was about the notarization. What is that? What is that?
Oh, so there are these people, generally like lawyers or accountants, and they get these certifications, and all they're doing is verifying that what you are saying you created is something that you actually created, and not something that belongs to someone else. So you'll take them your original piece, they'll review it, and they have a little stamp that they press into the paper, and it makes like a marking on the paper, and they sign it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just verifies that this is an original work of your own. It's kind of like it's in the same arena as copyright, obviously not the same thing, but in that same arena. Because the NAACP wants to verify that these things are yours. And so you have to make sure that everything you show them is notarized. And it is, I don't want to go as far as to say it, but I'm pretty sure that if it is not, you'll be disqualified. Because
okay.
I think anything that's not notarized is automatically assumed to be plagiarized.
And I have to ask, because I recorded a song this past summer, and I've been trying to get it copyrighted, but like, do you know the differences between the two, like notarization and copywriting, what those two like which would be better to have, or not better, but would it be good to have one and two?
You definitely want to get anything you created such as that copyrighted. But notarization is not that protection from other people using something that you've created. It's only a verification that you created it and not someone else. It is not going to keep other people, it's not going to protect you legally from other people using something that you created. So you're definitely going to need both. But you cannot go into EXO and say this is copyrighted and that be good enough. You have to have that notary stamp. So, and the notarization is much easier to get. You just go to the lawyer and you show it to them and they stamp it right there and then you walk away. Copyright, I know, takes a long time. Many applications have to be reviewed by people and all that. That's a totally separate and much more expensive process.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Go ahead, Eva.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I realized at this point that I did not, give you much background on myself. So I went to IA for a couple years, and then I went back and I went to Benjamin Mays. That's where I graduated from high school. When I finished high school in 08, I went to Howard University in D.C. I went there from 08 to 2012. I graduated in 2012. This is just my personal, I'm going to step up onto the soapbox for a second. I love HBCU. I support them wholeheartedly. Both of my parents went to HBCUs. They both went to Tuskegee. My aunt and uncle both went to Hampton. My cousins on the other side went to Hampton. And so I have many HBCUs in my blood, and it means a lot to me. I think that as many, I didn't say that yet, historically black colleges. I think that as many of our best and our brightest should go to HBCUs, because the brain and talent drain is a real thing. These majority institutions, they can pay for scholarships and all this other kind of stuff. And so the best of our students of color end up going to majority institutions, and our HBCUs miss out. And I think it is an awful, awful thing that's happening. And so I encourage all who are considering going to college, who are getting close to college age, to please, please consider going to an HBCU. There are many, many, many of them in many different urban and rural areas that have excellent programs in different arenas. I went to Howard. I'm a journalist. Our other, Serafina and our other Wright sister, Nalaja, also went to Howard. She's an engineer, well, a computer scientist, actually. Ife goes to Bennett. I know several people who went to Clark and Morehouse, and these schools are excellent, and these people have gone on to be surgeons and accountants and have all types of wonderful careers in all types of fields. It does, going to an HBCU does not mean that you will have less opportunities. It does not mean that you will get an inferior education. It simply means that you are committed to the betterment of yourself and your people at the same time. The experience is unique. It is unlike any other you will get anywhere else. Serafina and our other Wright sister, Omikunle, she goes to FAMU. She's going to be a pharmacist. So, you know, like I said, there are plenty of HBCU teams who have great sports teams, if that's what you're into. If you, whatever it is that you're looking for, be it academics or athletics or anything else, you can find it at an HBCU if you simply look. And I think that it should be our commitment as this new generation of African people who are working towards this goal of independence and sovereignty and nationalism, that we start there. It's kind of critical. Which one is not really important, but, you know, my personal preference is Howard, but there are many, many. You have many options. So I'm going to stop on that now. And if you have any questions on that or on XO, feel free.
All right, folks, type or talk questions that you have.
I see someone asked what categories I did, and I competed in original essay. That was the only category that I competed in all 3 years.
All right, other questions? Tashana, you had several questions this morning. You plan to ask them? You need to unmute yourself in this area, or, okay, you got some questions coming in. How many classes did you attend, a week or a year? You mean when she was at Howard University?
When I was in undergrad. Okay. Full-time, generally in undergrad, is 12 credits. On average, each class is worth 3 credits. So you're going to average about, that's about 4 classes a quarter, but that won't get you out in 4 years. So what happens is generally your first 2 years, you're going to have to take 18 credits both semesters, which translates to 6 classes. And then after that, you can bounce around and take 15 or 12 credits, which will get you 4 to 5 classes a semester until you're done. So 6 in the beginning, and then you can bring it down to 4 and 5, and you kind of bounce around. And if you take some summer classes, then you can take a lighter load. I know a lot of people who do that. I did it myself. You can take summer classes at a community college or a local college in your area if you go to school out of state, or you could take summer classes at whatever school you choose to attend. Those kind of specifics, though, you have to get approved by your school prior to taking.
All right, great question, great answer. Next question. Now we have her only for 10 more minutes, folks. Dina, can you stay with us for 10 more minutes?
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
All right.
I have to, my master's program is 2 years. It is, the whole degree I want to say is, it's 8 credits or 6 quarters. So, and that translates to 2 classes per quarter for me. So if you're full time, you take 2 classes per quarter and you'll be done in 2 years. Most master's programs are 2 years, unless they're one of those master's into PhD programs, which can go forever and ever and ever and ever.
In what areas are you earning a master's?
Oh, so I got my bachelor's in journalism, and I'm getting my master's degree in new media studies, which is a social science, and it is mostly analyzing the relationship between technology and culture, how we can manage that relationship in a way that is healthy.
Great. Next question. Talk it or type in the text chat while we're waiting for one. What do you do? What does one do with a master's in new media studies? What are you hoping? What is your next step? What are you hoping it'll launch you to? And what is your experience or what has been promised you or projected to you that this degree will allow you to do?
Okay. So my hope is to work in some type of nonprofit once I'm done. 70% of the people in my program go on to work in nonprofit. I would love to work in higher education. Either one would be very fulfilling for me. In the year between my 2 degrees, I worked for a grant program at Howard that was given by NASA. And the grant's purpose was to encourage people of color to get degrees in fields related to NASA. So I did a lot of work with minority students. Some of them were white women, but that's only because, according to NASA, white women are a minority because there are very few that work in fields related to NASA science. But I spent a lot of my time working with young black men and women who were earning advanced degrees, PhDs in atmospheric science and chemistry and physics. And it was extremely rewarding for me to see these young people pursuing these degrees in these fields that you don't normally see, or at least I didn't normally see growing up. I didn't know anyone who had a degree in that until I started working with this group. But that grant ended, and so now I'm going to get my graduate degree in hopes that I can learn some more about coding, about content management, and about just mastering some more of these technologies that keep on popping up so that eventually I can work for a nonprofit or for higher education in a similar facet, kind of spreading the word about these programs that help minorities get advanced degrees and get jobs in these arenas where we don't normally exist like that.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Other questions?
Higher education is just post-secondary. So bachelor's degrees, bachelor's of arts, bachelor of science, master's, PhDs, anything above the high school level. So basically, I would like to work at a college or a university.
All right, Anthony, you're on. Unmute your mic. Oh, there you go. Go.
Sorry about that. What is making some alarm cam was not going everywhere in my house. All I'm asking Do you have a business?
No, I don't manage my own business at this point. I haven't really thought that through yet. For now, I'm just working on finishing my degree. I haven't really been bit by the entrepreneurial bug yet, but I'm sure it's coming. I just haven't quite got there.
That's funny. That Abby, any other question? If not, you'll hit, close your webcam. Somebody else can step forward.
No, I was just going to ask you.
I can't hear.
What
Did I miss
college did
something?
you apply for?
Oh, let's see. I had decided I wanted to go to Howard when I was very young. Like, Mama Fia, Baba Wakessa's wife, always tells the story about how when she first met me, I said I wanted to go to Howard and I wanted to be a journalist, and I might have been 14 at the time, maybe younger. So I really had my sights set on Howard. But I did apply to, I also applied to North Carolina A&T. I applied to Smith. I applied to the University of Georgia. And I applied to Brown. But I think I got accepted to Howard first, and once I was accepted, I don't think I really entertained anything else.
And what Smith? You said Smith, what
Smith
Smith?
is a, it's a
Okay.
small all-girls college
Yeah.
in Massachusetts. It's not, it is a majority institution. It's not an HBCU.
Okay, that's it.
All right, thank you.
Welcome.
Omari, questions you have? I know I'm beating up against your mute your mic
One,
and Anthony. Yes,
can you,
yes, we hear
the
you,
one
Omari.
question that I did have was how did you juggle all of your commitments while in college? Having school and the classes that you took, your social life, all those things. How did you do that? How did you do all that successfully?
Is really quite the task. So the one thing I always tell people is that college is not only about the education. That is a very, very, I would think, small portion of what you're getting, right? The classes and the education is pretty much the same everywhere. That's kind of how that goes, right? In order for the degree to be comparable, you're going to pretty much take the same classes everywhere. But the rest of the environment that you live in is going to change based on the school, which is why I so greatly encourage students of color to go to HBCU. And so what happens is, in as you go, you get less and less sleep because that's pretty much the only thing that you can take off the table, right? You have to do your work. You have to go to practice or to rehearsals or to meetings or whatever it is that your organization does. You have to do these things and you have to be a part of something, a part of just other than going to school. So, freshman year, you go to class and you go home and you get to take naps in the middle of class, and it's great because you're used to getting up at 6, 7 o'clock in the morning and going to school all day and then coming home. But in college, you have a class at 8, you have a class at 11, you have a class at 2, and you can kind of, you have that freedom to do whatever you want. So what ends up happening is you end up sacrificing sleep in order to get it all done. And so my suggestion, what I will usually do is pack my Monday through Thursday to capacity. I would go to classes during the mornings. I would go to work in the afternoon. I had mock trial practice in the evening, and other, meetings for organizations and things like that in the evening. And then one day on the weekend was my day to not do anything. Friday, Saturday, or Sunday would be that day. And then the other 2 days of the weekend would be reserved for social stuff, you know, shopping, eating, you know, going out, whatever, whatnot. And it's important that you think about these things. That's really the key, is that you think about it, you actually plan it out. You can't just wake up in the morning and just, oh, we'll see what happens, because you will not get it done. You have to actually think about it, plan it out, say, okay, I'm going to designate this much time for school, and this much time for work, and this much time for whatever my extracurricular commitments are. Another suggestion is to stay away from social media. We waste so much time on Facebook and Netflix and YouTube, and I'm not saying that they're not great, because they are. I believe that. But you must be aware of how much time you spend on these things and understand that there's an opportunity cost. The more time you spend doing that, the less time you can spend doing the things you need to do. So I like pens and paper. That's just me. So I try and write everything out, and that keeps me from being on the computer. It keeps away the temptation of being surfing the internet as opposed to doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I often turn off my Wi-Fi. I do it all the time, because I often turn off my phone, because if it's there, if it's on, I will use it, and I won't do what I'm supposed to be doing. So just, you know, as long as you keep the perspective that I have a lot to manage, and if I don't take an active role in managing it, it will get out of hand, then you're fine. And as you get older, you'll figure out what things work best for you and which don't. I know for a fact that I work better at night. So I don't even try and work during the day. I play, I read my books for leisure. You know, I watch my TV, because I know I'm not working until like 9. My brain just does not get in that mode until about 9, 9:15. I make sure I get everything done, and then from like 9 to midnight, I just chug it out. But that's me. And as you grow, the more you do this, you'll figure it out what works best for you, the best times you work, and then you can organize the rest of your responsibilities around that. If that makes sense.
Sister's pulling it on. Y'all getting some valuable information here. These insights, students pay dearly. Some of them don't get it right, and they get sent home. Because freshman and sophomore year, they didn't handle it.
Yes. My roommate freshman year was too busy playing, and I don't think has a degree yet. School is costly. Even if you are on scholarship, it is costly, and it is not something that you should waste. That is a precious, precious time. Use it up, but use it well. Don't just let it go by you, because it does not come back. And I've only been out of school for 2 years, and I can tell you it does not come back. It is a great time. Live it up. Use it up. Somebody asked what inspired me to be a journalist. I had some excellent, excellent teachers, like in 7th and 8th grade, some excellent English teachers who taught me that words are tools, and if you can master them, you can make them do whatever you want. And I love that. I'm a talker. I always have been. I got it from my father. Any of you who know him know that. And and so words have always been my thing. And so I was always an excellent writer. It always came very naturally to me. I was always an excellent researcher. I love reading and I love writing. Those two always go hand in hand. That I did not get from my father, because he is an architect. My mother is a is a math teacher. Both of them have advanced degrees in very mathematical, very technical fields, and I can't add. How that happened, you'd have to take that up with our creator. He's funny sometimes. He does things like that. And so I started doing these this research on the types of fields that would allow me to write, because lots of people told me, you know, do what you love, do what you love, do what you love. And I came across journalism, and I started reading these magazines, and I saw these people that would write these stories that just, they told these wonderful stories using paper and using words and using images. And I thought it was really, really cool. And so then I started doing the research on where I could learn to do that. And both of my parents, like I said, are advocates of HBCUs, and Howard has the best journalism program that an HBCU can offer. So that's how I ended up there.
Great question. Great question. Any more before we turn the lights out? As she said, use it up. Use it wisely. Any other questions? I'm enjoying this, Stephen. It's wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Is that Nia from Atlanta? Is that my Nia?
Mm-hmm.
Is it really?
That really is.
Oh, okay.
This is our first semester, and that's your Nia.
I remember my mother, for those of you who don't know, my stepmother, when I was talking about my stepmother earlier, who got me into AXO, is Nia's mom. Her mom and my dad were married for several years, and so that's my sister, yeah.
And guess what? And she is the coach for AXO again.
My mom, Mafia?
That's right.
Yeah, she's so very into AXO. She's a huge AXO advocate.
Hey, I remember the day she was talking about it. It's like we were talking about it that morning, and before we do it, we were down to the where was it? Tri-Cities, and it was on.
Yeah, it was on. Exactly. It took no time. As soon as she said it, we thought it was a fantastic idea. And we just ran with it. And I remember being on my way to competition that morning, and it was early because we were running around trying to find the notary. It was like 6:45 in the morning. And there was another girl, another like adolescent, like my age girl, in another car next to us. And I was like, oh, she must be going to the same place I'm going, because nobody in their right mind is up and moving around this early in the morning unless they have to be. And she said to me, people who are about something are. And I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, then, well, let's do this. You know, it's early, but let's, you know, we got to do what we got to do. So.
Yeah. All right, folks, y'all, thank you so much. Students, thank you for your questions. And hopefully this has helped you. DNA, would you put your email address in if you're open to get from them?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Definitely.
Pass the nap. Hold on just a second, please. Good. All right. I'm going to leave you in her hands. This is one of our former students' parents from Texas. And then when she's done and y'all giving her your kudos, would y'all please take your lunch? You have 45 minutes, actually, a try day. I'll give you an hour for lunch, and then you come back and do other work that you need to do. Is that all right? But first, kudos and appreciations for Delaney Mitchell taking her time to share with you her experience. Is there anything that you learned that you want to tag, then please do.
Well, I appreciate learning about the whole entire process and what I can expect and the different advice you gave us for college, because I've definitely been stressing about that. Like, I was like, I don't know how my schedule is going to be for college, and when people want to be by myself and stuff, and I'm like, oh God.
Oh no, don't stress and don't be afraid to go away. I always encourage kids to go away, not, you know, forever, but to get out of your state, see something, go to school somewhere you've never been, because it is a little scary but you figure it out. Schools have a million resources to support their students. It's a good idea. Try it.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much. Mo!
You're welcome. Hey, sister! How are you? I can't hear you, but I can see you. I'm sorry. I did something weird and got kicked out. My grades were I actually figured out oh wait, let me turn my camera back on. I'm sorry. My grades were pretty good throughout. I graduated magna cum laude. I had a 3.75 when I was done. But at one point, I overloaded myself my junior year, second semester of my junior year. I overloaded myself, got a couple of C's, and fell down from the three. I had like a 3.86 and fell down to like a 3.67. And I was really, really sad. And so I had to cut some stuff out and rearrange myself. And then I by the time I was done, I got back up to 3.75. So, you know, it's one of those things where you have to pay attention, see if you are overloading yourself or if your classes are too difficult, and be proactive when you see a challenge coming. You can't just pretend like it's not there and then bad things happen. You're welcome. Anybody else have any other questions? Well, if that's it, then I think I'm going to head out. It was lovely speaking with all of you all this afternoon. And I put my email in the text chat. If anyone has any further questions or anything that you'd like to ask, feel free to email me whenever you get ready. I know you all are ready to go to lunch, so feel free to do that. Bye.
Peace.
Oh, bye.